I'm sorry, Kara, but the sword's magic has made the choice. It has chosen that you live. You will have to abide by its decision. Her eyes finally turned to look into his.
You were going to do it. You were going to execute me.
He slid the sword slowly into its scabbard. Yes.
Then why am I not dead?
Because the magic decided otherwise. We can't question its judgment. We must abide by it. Richard had been reasonably sure that the sword's magic wouldn't harm Kara. The magic wouldn't let him harm one who was an ally. He had been counting on that. But there had been doubt. Kara had brought Colin within danger's grasp, though not intentionally. He wasn't entirely sure that doubt wouldn't cause the blade to take her. That was the way with the Sword of Truth's magic. One wasn't always entirely sure. Zed had told Richard when he had given him the sword that therein lay the danger. The sword destroyed an enemy and spared a friend, but the sword's magic worked as a result of the view of its holder, not the truth. Zed had told him that doubt could possibly cause the death of a friend or allow the escape of a foe. But he did know that if it was to work, he had to commit his entire being to the effort. Otherwise, Kara wouldn't believe the magic had spared her, and she would have credited it to him. Then she would have been obligated to do as she had promised. His insides felt as if they were twisted into knots. His knees trembled. He had been sucked into a world of dread. He hadn't been positive that it would work as he had planned. Worse, he wasn't entirely sure he hadn't made a mistake by sparing her. Richard cupped Kara's chin. The Sword of Truth has made its choice. It chose for you to live, for you to have another chance. You must accept its decision. Kara nodded in his hand.
Yes, Lord Rawl.
He reached under her arm and helped her to her feet. He could hardly stand himself, and wondered if he had been in her place if he would be able to get to his feet as steadily as she.
I will do better in the future, Lord Rawl.
Richard pulled her head to his shoulder and held her tight for a moment, something he had been aching to do. Her arms slipped around him in grateful surrender. That's all I ask, Kara. As she headed for the door, Richard called her name. She turned back. You still must be punished. Her eyes turned down.
Yes, Lord Rawl.
Tomorrow afternoon, you will have to learn to feed chipmunks. Her gaze came back up.
Lord Rawl?
Do you wish to feed chipmunks?
No, Lord Rawl.
Then that's your punishment. Bring Berdine and Reyna. They too are due some punishment. Richard closed the door after her, leaned against it, and shut his eyes. The inferno of the sword's rage had consumed his anger. He was left empty and weak. He shook so badly he could hardly stand. He was almost sick at the vivid memory of looking into her eyes as he brought the sword down with all his strength, expecting that he was going to kill her. He had been prepared for the spray of blood and bone, Kara's blood and bone, a person he cared about. He had done what he had to save her life, but at what cost? The prophecy reeled through his head, and the nausea took him to his knees in a flash of cold sweat and dread. Chapter 15. The soldiers he had stationed in the halls around the Mother Confessor's rooms stepped aside, each clapping a fist to the chain mail over his heart as Richard went by. He absently returned the salute as he swept past them, his gold cape billowing out behind. The soldiers crossed their pikes before the three moored Sith and two big bodyguards trailing him at a distance. When he had previously stationed the soldiers, he had given them a very short list of who was to be allowed through their positions. His five guards weren't on the list. He glanced back to see a Geel come up into fists. He met Kara's eyes. The three moored Sith reluctantly released their weapons. His five guards backed away from the challenge and set up their own guard post beyond the soldiers. With a hand signal from Kara, Reyna and Ulic swiftly disappeared back down the hall. No doubt she had sent them to find another way around to guard the opposite end of the hall. When he rounded the next-to-last corner before Colin's room, he saw Nadine sitting on a gilt-legged chair to the side of the hall. She was swinging her legs like a bored child waiting to go outside and play. When she saw him coming, she bounded up out of the chair. She looked scrubbed and fresh. Her thick hair glistened. His brow twitched. Her dress looked tighter than it had the day before. It seemed to fit closer to her ribs and hips, showing her alluring shape more than he remembered. He knew it was the same dress. He thought he must be imagining things. Seeing her figure displayed to such advantage reminded him that there had been a time. She schooled her enthusiasm, twisting a strand of hair with a finger as she affected a smile. Her delight at seeing him faltered as he approached. She took a step back toward the wall as he stopped before her. Nadine's gaze left his eyes.
Richard? Good morning. I thought I heard someone say you were back already. I was...
She gestured toward Colin's room for an excuse to look away.
I came to see how Colin was doing this morning. I need to put on a new poultice. I was just waiting until I was sure she was up, and
Colin told me how you helped her. Thanks, Nadine. I appreciate it more than you could know. She shrugged one shoulder.
We're Heartlanders, you and I.
In the thick silence, she twisted a thread between her fingers.
Tommy and skinny Rita Wellington got married.
Richard watched the top of her bowed head as she played with the thread. I guess that was to be expected. That was what their parents wanted. Nadine didn't look up from her thread.
He beats the stuffing out of her. I had to give her poultices and herbs one time when he made her bleed. You know, down there. People say it's none of their business and pretend not to know it's happening.
Richard wasn't sure what she was getting at. He certainly wasn't going back to Heartland to rattle a conscience into Tom Lancaster's head. Well, if he keeps at it, her brothers might end up giving him a lesson in cracked skulls. Nadine didn't look up.
That could have been me.
She cleared her throat.
I could have been married to Tommy, crying to anyone who'd listen about how... Well, it could have been me. It could have been me, pregnant, wondering if he'd beat me till I lost this one, too. I reckon I owe you, Richard. And you being a boy from Heartland and all, I just wanted to help if you were in trouble.
She shrugged her one shoulder again.
Colin's real nice. Most women would have... I guess she's about the prettiest woman I ever saw. Nothing like me.
I never figured you owed me anything, Nadine. I'd have done the same no matter who Tom had caught alone that day. But you have my sincere gratitude for helping Colin.
Sure. I guess that was stupid of me to think you stopped him because...
Richard realized by the way she sounded on the verge of tears that he hadn't put it very well, so he laid a hand tenderly on her shoulder.
Nadine, you've grown into a beautiful woman, too.
She peered up with a growing smile.
You think I'm beautiful?
She smoothed her blue dress at her hips. I didn't dance with you at the Midsummer Festival because you were still clumsy little Nadine Brighton. She started winding the string again.
I like dancing with you. You know, I carved the initials NC on my betrothal trunk for Nadine Cipher.
I'm sorry, Nadine. Michael is dead. She looked up with a frown.
Michael? No, that's not what it meant. It meant you.
Richard decided that this conversation had gone far enough. He had more important things to worry about. I'm Richard Rawl now. I can't live in the past. My future is with Colin.
Nadine caught his arm as he started turning away. I'm sorry. I know that. I know I made a big mistake. With Michael, I mean.
Richard caught himself just in time to bite off a caustic retort. What would be the purpose? I appreciate that you helped, Colin. I suppose you'll want to be heading home. Tell everyone I'm well. I'll be back for a visit when...
Colin invited me to stay a while.
Richard was caught off guard. Colin had neglected to tell him that part of it. Oh? And you wish to stay for a day or two?
Sure, I thought I'd like that. I've never been away from home before. If it's all right with you, I mean, I wouldn't want to...
Richard gently pulled his arm from her hand.
Fine.
If she invited you, then it's fine with me. She brightened as if oblivious to the disapproval on his face.
Richard, did you see the moon last night? Everyone is abuzz about it. Did you see it? Was it as extraordinary, as remarkable as they say?
That and more, he whispered, his mood darkening. Before she could get in another word, he marched off. His soft knock on the door produced a rotund woman in a staff uniform. Her ruddy face peered out through the narrow crack.
Lord Rawl!
Nancy is just helping the Mother Confessor get dressed. She'll be finished in a minute.
Dressed?
He called to the closing door. The latch clicked into place.
She's supposed to be in bed,
he called through the heavy, ornately carved door. Getting no response, he decided to wait rather than cause a scene. Once, when he looked up, He saw Nadine peeking around the corner. Her head swiftly disappeared back around the corner. He paced before the door until the rubicund woman finally opened it wide and held an arm out in invitation. Richard stepped into the room, feeling as if he was entering another world. The confessor's palace was a place of splendor, power, and history, but the mother confessor's quarters were the place that, more than anywhere else in the palace, reminded him that he was really just the woods guide. It made him feel out of his element. The mother confessor's rooms were a majestic, quiet sanctuary, befitting the woman to whom knelt kings and queens. If Richard had seen this room before he came to know Colin, he wondered if he would have ever had the nerve to speak to her. Even now it embarrassed him to recall teaching her to build snares and dig roots when he didn't know who or what she was. It made him smile, though, to remember her eagerness to learn. He was thankful he had come to know the woman before he came to understand the post she filled and the magic she wielded. He thanked the good spirits she had come into his life and prayed she would be a part of it forever. She meant everything to him. The three marble fireplaces in the Mother Confessor's sitting room were ablaze. The heavy drapes on the 10-foot-tall windows hung open slightly, forming tall slits, letting in only enough light, muted by the sheer panels behind, to make lamps unnecessary. He guessed that bright sunlight was inappropriate in a sanctuary. There were only a few houses in Heartland that wouldn't fit in this room alone. On a glossy, gold-embellished mahogany table to the side sat a silver tray with tea, soup, biscuits, sliced pears, and brown bread. None of it had been touched. The sight reminded him that he hadn't eaten since noon the day before, but failed to summon his appetite. The three women in crisp gray dresses with white lace collars and cuffs watched him expectantly, as if waiting to see if he would dare to simply walk in on the mother confessor or fall into a show of some other scandalous behavior. Richard glanced at the door at the far end of the room, his sense of propriety making him ask the obvious. Is she dressed? The one who had cracked the door before reddened.
I wouldn't have let you in, sir, had she not been.
Of course. He headed soundlessly across the plush, dark-hued carpets. He stopped and turned back. They watched like three owls. Thank you, ladies. That will be all. They bowed and reluctantly took their leave. He realized, as the last one stole a quick glance over her shoulder while pulling the door closed, that they probably considered it the height of indecency for a man engaged to a woman to be alone with her in her bedroom. Doubly so for the mother confessor. Richard forced out an annoyed breath. Whenever he was anywhere near the mother confessor's rooms, some member of the staff always managed to show up every other minute, checking to see if she needed anything. The variety of things they suspected she might be needing never failed to surprise him. He sometimes expected one of them to come right out and ask her if she might need her virtue protected. Outside her rooms, the staff was friendly, even joking with him when he put them at ease, or helped them carry things. A few were afraid of him, but not in her rooms. In her rooms, they all turned into bold, protective mother hawks. Inside the bedroom, against the far paneled wall, stood the huge bed, its four great, dark, polished posts rising up like columns before a palace. The thick, embroidered bed cover cascaded down the sides of the bed like a colorful waterfall frozen in place. A slash of sunlight cut across the dark, sumptuous carpets and over the lower half of the bed. Richard remembered Colin describing her bed to him, telling him how she couldn't wait to have him in it when they were married. He very much wanted to be in bed with her. It had been since that night between worlds that he had been alone with her, in that way. But he had to admit that he was intimidated by that bed of hers. He thought he might lose her in it. She had promised there would be no chance of that. Colin was standing at the row of glassed doors before the expansive balcony, looking out past the open curtain. She was staring out over the stone railings and up toward the keep on the mountainside. The sight of her in her satiny white dress flowing smoothly over her ravishing curves, with her dazzling mane cascading down her back, nearly took his breath. The sight of her made him ache. He decided that the bed would be just fine. When he tenderly touched her shoulder, she started. She turned, a beaming smile on her face as she looked up at him.
I thought you were Nancy.
come back in.
What do you mean you thought I was Nancy? You didn't know it was me?
How would I know it was you?
He shrugged. Because? I always can tell when it's you who's walked into a room. I don't have to see you. Her brow furrowed in disbelief.
You cannot.
Of course I can.
How?
You have a unique fragrance. I know the sounds you make, the sound of your breathing, the way you move, the way you pause. They're all unique to you. Her frown grew.
You're not kidding.
You mean it. You're serious. Of course. Can't you tell me by those things?
No.
But I guess you've spent much of your life in the woods, watching, smelling, listening. She slipped her good arm around his. I still don't know if I believe you. Then test me sometime. Richard stroked his fingers down her hair. How are you feeling? How's your arm?
I'm all right. It's not so bad. Not as bad as that time Elder Toffelaar cut me. Remember? That was worse than this.
He nodded. What are you doing out of bed? You were told to rest. She pushed at his stomach.
Stop. I'm fine.
She looked him up and down.
And you look more than fine. I can't believe you had that made for me. You look magnificent, Lord Rahl.
Richard tenderly met her lips. She tried to pull him into a more passionate kiss, but he pulled back.
I'm afraid I'll hurt you, he said.
Richard, I'm fine, really. I was exhausted before because I used my power, along with all the rest of it. People mistook that for me being hurt worse than I was.
He appraised her for a long moment before bending to the kind of kiss he had been longing to give her.
Oh, that's better,
she breathed on parting. She pushed back.
Richard, did you see Kara? You left so quickly and you had that look in your eye. I didn't have time to really talk to you. It wasn't her fault.
I know, you told me.
You didn't yell at her, did you?
We had a talk. She squinted.
Talk? What did she have to say for herself? She didn't try to tell you that she was...
What's Nadine still doing here? She was looking at him. She snatched his wrist.
Richard, you have blood on you. Your arm.
She looked up in alarm.
What did you do? Richard, you didn't hurt her, did you?
She lifted his arm higher into the light.
Richard, this looks like... when you...
She seized his shirt.
You didn't hurt her. Tell me that you didn't hurt her.
She wanted to be executed. She gave me the choice of doing it or she would. So I used the sword like that time with the Mud People elders.
She's all right? She's all right, isn't she?
She's all right. Colin, concern in her expression, looked into his eyes.
And you? Are you all right?
I've been better.
Colin, what is Nadine still doing here?
She's just staying for a visit, that's all. Have you met Drefin yet?
Richard held her away when she moved to lay her head to his chest. What is she doing here? Why did you invite her to stay?
Richard, I had to. Trouble from Shota isn't so easily dismissed. You ought to know that. We have to know what's going on before we can do something to make sure Shota can't cause us trouble.
Richard went to the glass door and stared out at the mountain towering over the city. The Wizard's Keep stared back.
I don't like it. Not one bit.
Neither do I,
she said from behind him.
Richard, she helped me. I didn't think she would have the guts to keep her head, but she did. She's confused by all this, too. Something more than we're seeing is going on, and we have to use our heads, not hide under the blankets.
He heaved a sigh.
I still don't like it, but you have a point. I only marry smart women.
He could hear Colin absently smooth her dress behind him. The fragrance of her calmed him.
I can see why you liked her. She's a lovely woman, besides being a healer. It must have hurt you.
The keep seemed to absorb the morning sunlight in its dark stone. He should go up there.
What must have hurt me?
When you caught her kissing Michael. She told me how you caught her kissing your brother.
Richard wheeled around, staring in slack-jawed disbelief.
She told you what?
Colin gestured back toward the door as if Nadine might appear to speak for herself.
She said that you caught her kissing your brother.
Kissing him?
That's what she said.
Richard turned his glare back to the window. Did she now?
What was she doing then? You mean you caught...
Callan, we have 16 men who died down by the pit last night, and a dozen more who may not live the day. I've got guards I can't trust to protect the woman I love. We've got a witch woman who has made it her life's mission to cause us trouble. We've got your gang sending us messages in Walking Dead men. We've got a Sister of the Dark loose somewhere. We've got half the army in Adendrill sick and unable to fight if they have to. We've got representatives waiting to see us. I've got a half-brother I never knew I had downstairs under guard. I think we have more important things to discuss than Nadine's difficulty with the truth.
Colin's green eyes watched him tenderly for a moment. That bad. Now I understand what put that look in your eyes.
Remember what you told me one time. Never let a beautiful woman pick your path for you when there's a man in her line of sight.
She put a hand over his shoulder. Nadine isn't picking my path. I asked her to stay for my own reasons.
Nadine sticks to what she wants like a hound on a scent, but I'm not talking about Nadine, I'm talking about Shoda. She's pointing down a path, and you're walking right down it.
We have to find out what's down that path, and Shoda's reasons for pointing to it.
Richard turned back to the glass door. I want to know what else Marlin, your gang, had to say. Every word. I want you to try to remember every word.
Why don't you just yell at me and get it over with?
I don't want to yell at you. You scared me to death going down there. I just want to hold you, to protect you. I want to marry you.
He turned back and looked into her green eyes.
I think I have a way for it to work. With the mud people, I mean.
She stepped closer. Really? How?
First, you tell me everything Jagang said.
Richard idly watched the keep as she went through the whole story. How Jagang said he watched the Jala game, and that in his native tongue the name meant the game of life. That he wanted to witness the glory of what Marlin had done. How he wanted Sister Amelia to return to him before he revealed himself. That he had found prophecies other than those Richard had destroyed, and that he had invoked one called a bound fork prophecy. That's all I remember, she said. Why are you watching the keep so intently?
I'm wondering why Sister Amelia went there, and what Marlin was going to do there. Any ideas?
No, Jagang wouldn't say. Richard, have you seen the prophecy in the pit?
His stomach roiled. Yes.
And? What does it say?
I don't know. I'll have to translate it.
Richard Rawl, you may be able to tell it's me who has walked into a room without seeing me, but I can tell when you're not telling me the truth without even having to look into your eyes.
Richard couldn't manage to smile. Prophecies are more complicated than their words. You know that. Just hearing their words doesn't mean it's what it sounds like. Besides, just because Jagang found a prophecy, that doesn't mean he can invoke it.
Well, that's all true enough. I told him as much myself. He said that proof he had invoked the prophecy would come on a red moon. Not much chance of that. Richard spun around.
What did you say? You didn't tell me that before. What did Jagang say?
Her face paled. I forgot, until you said... I told Jagang that I didn't believe him about invoking the prophecy. He said that proof would come on the red moon. Richard, do you know what that means?
Richard's tongue felt thick. He made himself blink. The moon was red last night. I've been outdoors my whole life. I've never seen anything even remotely like it. It was like looking at the moon through a glass of red wine. It gave me goosebumps. That was why I came back early.
Richard, what did the prophecy say? Tell me.
He stared at her, trying to think of a lie he could make her believe. He couldn't. It said, he whispered, on the red moon will come the firestorm. The one bonded to the blade will watch as his people die. If he does nothing, then he and all those he loves will die in its heat, for no blade, forged of steel or conjured of sorcery, can touch this foe. Silence rang through the still room. Colin's face was white.
What's the rest of it? Jagang said it was a bound fork prophecy. What's the rest of it?
Her voice broke.
The other fork. You tell me, Richard. Don't you lie to me. We're in this together. If you love me, then you'll tell me.
Dear spirits, let her hear the words and not my dread. Let me at least spare her that.
His left hand clutched the hilt of his sword. The raised letters of the word truth bit into his flesh. He blinked his vision clear.
Show no fear.
To quench the inferno, he must seek the remedy in the wind. Lightning will find him on that path, for the one in white, his true beloved, will betray him in her blood. Chapter 16. Cullen could feel tears falling down her cheek.
Richard!
She sucked back a sob.
Richard, you know I would never... You don't believe I could ever... I swear on my life I would never... You have to believe me.
He swept her into his arms as she lost control over a wail of anguish.
Richard!
She sobbed against his chest.
I would never betray you. Not for anything in this world. Not to spare myself eternal torment in the underworld at the Keeper's hands.
I know. Of course I know that. You know as well as I that you can't understand a prophecy by its words. Don't let it hurt you. That's what your gang wants. He doesn't even know what it means. He just put it down there because the words sounded like what he wanted to hear.
But I...
She couldn't halt her weeping.
Shh!
His big hand held her head against him. The terror of the night before, and the worst terror of the prophecy, came out in uncontrollable tears. She had never cried in the face of battle, but in the safety of his arms, she couldn't control herself. She was swept away by a flood of tears no less powerful than the torrent in the drainage tunnel.
Colin, don't let yourself believe it. Please don't.
But it says, I will...
Listen to me. Didn't I tell you not to go down there to question Marlin? Didn't I tell you that I would do it when I got back and that it was dangerous and I didn't want you down there?
Yes, but I was afraid for you, and I just wanted...
You went against my wishes. No matter your reasons, you went against my wishes, didn't you?
She nodded against him.
That could be the betrayal in the prophecy. You were wounded, you were bleeding, you betrayed me and you had blood on you, your blood.
I wouldn't call what I did a betrayal. I was doing it for you, because I love you, and I was afraid for you.
But don't you see? The words of prophecy don't always work the way they sound.
At the Palace of the Prophets in the Old World, both Warren and Nathan warned me that prophecies aren't meant to be understood by the words. The words are only obliquely connected to the prophecy.
But I don't see how...
I'm just saying that it could be something as simple as that.
You can't let a prophecy gain control of your fears. Don't let it.
Set told me that, too. He said that there were prophecies about me that he wouldn't tell me because the words weren't to be trusted. He said, you were right to ignore the words of prophecy. But this is different, Richard. This says I will betray you.
I already told you how it could be something simple.
Lightning isn't simple. Being struck by lightning is a symbol for being killed, if not an outright declaration of the manner of your death. The prophecy says I will betray you. And because of that, you will die.
I don't believe it. Colin, I love you. I know it isn't possible. You wouldn't betray me and bring me harm. You wouldn't.
Colin clutched his shirt as she gasped a sob.
That's why Shota sent Nadine. She wants you to marry someone else. Because she knows I will be the death of you. Shota is trying to save you from me.
She thought that once before, and she turned out to be wrong. Remember? If Shota had had her way, we wouldn't have been able to stop Darkin Roll. He would rule us all right now if we had given in to her reading of the future. Prophecy is no different. Richard gripped her shoulders and held her at arm's length so that he could look into her eyes.
Do you love me?
His grip on her wounded shoulder made it sing with pain, but she refused to pull away from his touch.
More than life itself.
Then trust in me. I won't let it destroy us, I promise. It will all fall into place for the best in the end, you'll see. We can't think of the solution if we're focused on the problem.
She wiped at her eyes. He sounded so sure of himself. His confidence calmed her and bolstered her spirits.
You're right. I'm sorry. Do you want to marry me?
Of course. But I don't see how we can leave our responsibility for such a long time to travel...
The sliff. She blinked.
What?
The sliff. Up in the wizard's keep. I've been thinking about it. We traveled all the way to the old world and back in her, with her magic, and it took less than a day each way. I can wake the sliff, and we can travel in her.
But she would take us to the old world, to the city of Tanamura. Jagang is somewhere near Tanamura.
That's still a lot closer to the mud people than Aiden Drill is. Besides, I think the sliff can go other places, too. She asked me where I wished to travel. That means she can go other places. Maybe she can get us a lot closer than Tanamura.
Colin, her tears forgotten at the prospect of their wedding being possible, glanced up at the keep.
We might be able to go to the mud people, be married, and be back in a matter of a few days. We could be gone that long, surely.
Richard smiled as his arms circled her from behind.
Surely.
Colin wiped the last of the tears away as she turned in his arms.
How do you always manage to figure things out?
He nodded toward her bed. I had a great deal of motivation. Colin, a grin spreading on her face, was just about to reward him with something positively indecent when there was a knock at the door. It immediately opened without benefit of an answer. Nancy stuck her head in.
Are you all right, Mother Confessor?
She glanced meaningfully to Richard.
Yes. What is it?
Lady Nadine is asking if she could change the poultice.
Is she now?
Colin said in a dark tone.
Yes, Mother Confessor. But if you are indisposed, I could ask her to wait until...
Send her in, then, Richard said. Nancy hesitated.
We will have to take the top of your dress down, Mother Confessor, to get at the bandage.
It's all right, Richard whispered in Colin's ear. I have to go talk to Berdine. I have some work for her.
I hope it doesn't involve horse manure.
Richard smiled.
No.
I want her to work on Kolo's journal.
Why?
He kissed the top of her head. Knowledge is a weapon. I intend to be formidably armed. He glanced to Nancy.
Need me to help with her dress?
Nancy managed to scowl and turn red at the same time.
I guess that means you will manage.
At the door, he turned back to Colin. I'll wait until Nadine's finished with you, and then we better go see this Dreffen fellow. I have a task for him. I'd like you to be with me.
When he had closed the door, Nancy brushed back her short brown hair and moved around behind Colin to help with her dress.
Your Mother Confessor's dress, the one you were wearing yesterday, was ruined beyond repair.
I expected as much.
Confessors had a collection of dresses, all the same. Confessors all wore black dresses, only the Mother Confessor wore white. She thought about the blue wedding dress she would wear.
Nancy, do you remember when your husband was courting you?
Nancy paused.
Yes, Mother Confessor.
Then you must know how it would have made you feel if someone were to keep popping in on you when you were alone with him.
Nancy eased the dress over Colin's shoulder.
Mother Confessor, I was never allowed to be alone with him until we were married. I was young and ignorant. My parents were right to watch over me in the impulses of youth. Nancy, I am a grown woman. I'm the Mother Confessor. I can't have you and the other women popping your heads into my room whenever Richard is with me.
Ow!
Sorry. That was my fault. It isn't proper, Mother Confessor. That's for me to decide. If you say so, Mother Confessor.
Colin held her arm out as Nancy slipped the sleeve over her hand.
I say so.
Nancy glanced at the bed.
You were conceived in that bed. Who knows how many Mother Confessors before you conceived their daughters in that bed? It owes a legacy of tradition. Only wedded Mother Confessors took their men to that bed to conceive a child.
And not one of them because of love. I was not conceived through love, Nancy. My child, if I have one, will be.
All the more reason that it should be by the grace of the good spirits, in the sanctity of marriage.
Colin didn't say that the good spirits had taken them to a place between worlds to sanctify their union.
The good spirits know what's in our hearts. There is no one else for either of us, nor will there ever be.
Nancy busied herself at the bandage.
And you are eager to get to it, like my daughter and her young man are.
If Nancy only knew how eager.
That's not it. I'm just saying that I don't want you coming in on me when Richard is here with me. We will be wedded soon. We are irreversibly committed to one another. There is more to being in love than just jumping into bed, you know. Like just being close in one another's arms. Can you understand? I can't very well kiss my future husband and have my injuries comforted by him if you keep popping your head in every 2 minutes now, can I?
No, Mother Confessor.
Nadine knocked at the open door.
May I come in?
Yes, of course. Here, set your bag on the bed. I can manage now, Nancy.
Thank you.
With a deprecating shake of her head, Nancy shut the door behind herself. Nadine sat on the bed next to Colin and worked at finishing unwrapping the bandage. Colin frowned at Nadine's dress.
Nadine, that dress. It is the same one you were wearing yesterday, isn't it?
Sure.
It seems...
Nadine looked down at herself.
The ladies washed it for me, but it's... Oh, I know what you're talking about. It was torn in the tunnels when we went for a swim. Some of the fabric at the seams was ruined, so I had to take it in to save it. I haven't had much of an appetite since I left home, thinking about... I mean, what with my travels, I was busy, and I've slimmed down a bit, so I was able to take in the seams and save the dress. It's not too tight, it's fine.
In view of your aid, I will see to it that you get another dress that would be more comfortable.
No, this one's fine.
I see.
Well, your cut looks no worse this morning. That's encouraging.
She carefully wiped at the old poultice.
I saw Richard on the way out. He looked upset. You two haven't had a fight, I hope.
Colin's forbearance evaporated.
No, he was upset because of something else.
Nadine paused at her work. She turned to her bag and brought back a horn. The fragrance of pine pitch filled the air when she opened it. Colin winced as Nadine dabbed on the poultice. When she was satisfied, she began winding the bandage back around Colin's arm.
There's no need to be embarrassed,
Nadine said in a casual tone.
Lovers sometimes have spats. They don't always end a relationship. I'm sure Richard will come to his senses, eventually.
Actually, Colin said, I told him that I understood about you and him, about what happened. That was why he was so upset.
Nadine's rapping slowed.
What do you mean?
I told him what you said about letting him catch you kissing his brother, the little shove you gave him, remember?
Nadine brought the tails of the bandage around, her fingers suddenly working swiftly at tying them.
Oh, that.
Yes, that.
Nadine avoided looking up. She slipped the sleeve of the dress over Colin's hand. As soon as she had pulled the dress up over Colin's shoulder, she dropped the horn back in her bag.
That should do it. I should replace the poultice later today.
Colin watched as Nadine hefted her bag and scurried for the door. Colin called her name. Nadine reluctantly paused and turned partway back.
Seems you lied to me. Richard told me what really happened.
Nadine's freckles vanished in a crimson glow. Colin stood and gestured toward a tufted velvet chair.
Care to set things right? To tell me your side of it?
Nadine stood woodenly for a moment, then sank into the chair. She folded her hands in her lap and stared down at them.
I told you. I had to give him a shove.
You call that a shove?
Nadine turned even redder.
Well,
she flicked a hand.
I knew how boys lost their heads over their lust. I figured that was my best chance of getting him to lay claim to me.
Colin was confused, but she didn't let it show.
Seems it would have been a little late for that.
Well, not necessarily. I was bound to end up with one of them when I let Richard catch me like that, naked atop Michael, having a good time of it. Michael was game for me, that was for sure.
Colin's brow rose.
How did you figure that?
I had it worked out. Richard would come in behind me. He'd see me on Michael's lance, crying out with the pleasure of it, and he'd be taken with lust by the sight and by my willingness. Then he'd lose his head, his inhibition, and at last he'd have to have me too.
Colin stared dumbly.
How was that going to get you Richard?
Nadine cleared her throat.
Well, it was like this. I figured that Richard would enjoy having me. I'd make sure of that. Then I'd tell him no the next time he wanted me, and he'd want me so much after he'd had a sampling that he'd claim me. If Michael wanted to claim me too, then it's my choice, and I'd choose Richard. If Richard didn't claim me, and I got pregnant, then I'd say it was his, and he'd marry me because it could be his. If I didn't get pregnant, and he wouldn't claim me, well, then there was still Michael. I figured second best was better than none.
Cullen didn't know what had happened. Richard hadn't said. She feared Nadine would stop her story right there. Cullen couldn't very well admit she didn't know what happened next. And worse, she feared to hear just how successful Nadine's bizarre plan had been. In the first version, the kissing version, Richard had turned away. But Cullen now knew that version wasn't true. She watched the vein in the side of Nadine's neck throb. Cullen folded her arms and waited. At last, Nadine collected her voice and continued.
Well, that was my plan anyway. It seemed to make sense. I figured I'd get Richard out of it, at best, and Michael, at worst. It didn't work the way I thought. Richard walked in and froze. I smiled over my shoulder. I invited him to come join the fun, or else to come to me later and I'd see to him, too.
Cullen held her breath.
That was the first time I saw that look in Richard's eyes. He didn't say a word, he just turned and walked out.
Nadine stuck a hand in under the hair hanging around her face and wiped it across her nose as she sniffled.
I thought I'd at least have Michael. He laughed at me when I told him he'd claimed me. He just laughed. He never wanted to be with me again after that. He'd gotten what he wanted. I was no use to him after that. He moved on to other girls.
This is the end of Side 1. There is no need to change your balance control. Simply reverse this cassette. That is, turn to Side 2 and continue listening.